It's not a race, honey. I ask you to stand as you are able. If it is difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In Job, the 23rd chapter, beginning with the first verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this. Then Job answered, "Today also my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his dwelling. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, but he would give heed to me. There an upright person could reason with him, and I should be acquitted forever by my judge." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we continue in our sermon series about the tough questions that we would like to ask, or as it is more affectionately known, stump the pastor, we are looking at those things that are difficult for us to understand. Now, there's so many things in the Bible I have difficulty understanding because, number one, we're trying to describe the indescribable with human words when we're trying to understand God. But also, God's ways are so above ours that even with our dumbed down words, it is so hard sometimes to get it. And the oldest question ever asked is from Job. Job wanted to know, and the whole book or the whole play is about the problem of suffering. God is all-powerful. Amen? God is completely good. Amen? And yet there is suffering in the world. Suffering that, not just that people who we think deserve it, but sometimes it seems like the evil prospers and the righteous suffer. And we go, what's up with that? And the oldest book in the Bible, the one that was written before anything else was written, is Job. Before Genesis, before anything, the first thing written was Job, dealing with this problem of our understanding the big question. And it all comes down to, why me? Why me? Most of the time when something goes wrong in our life, the first thing Christians usually think is, what did I do? What have I done that this is happening to me? What have I done that was so bad that this suffering has come upon me? Now, understand, some things do come as punishment. And sometimes, even after we've repented something, it still has consequences. That's a given. But I'm talking about the thing that Job was talking about, which says, I hadn't done anything wrong. Now, we think that that's an arrogant statement, but in the very beginning, God spoke and said that Job was a righteous man who followed God in all his ways. God had no complaints against Job. And then Job lost all 10 of his children in a common accident. And Job lost all of his wealth. It was all stolen. And then he lost his health. And he was covered in a skin disease. And any of us who've even had a little rash know how that can just drive you nuts. And he was covered in this skin disease. So he was physically worn. He was emotionally worn. He was broke. And his wife came to him in her pain, because remember, those were her kids too, and came in her pain and said to him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" So they weren't supporting each other. Job was as alone feeling as you can feel. And he had these three friends. And at first they came and sat with him in their silence and were a comfort. But then they blew it. They started talking. And they started accusing Job. "You had to have done something wrong or all this stuff wouldn't be coming upon you." So now he's lost everything. His wife, his marriage is in a shamble. And his friends think, "Well, you just got what you deserved. You must have been doing something and your secret has found you out." So he's mocked. All alone and mocked. Sound like anybody you know? A righteous one that had no charge against him. Mocked and alone. And it came down to a point when Job said, "If I could just talk to God face to face, if I could just present my arguments to him, then I could let him know that this ain't right. I mean, I know God is always right, but this ain't right. I haven't done anything to deserve this. Why me? Why me?" Now, Job is a fairly long book. So let me tell you what God finally answers. God finally answers Job and says, "I ain't going to tell you. I am not going to say why you. I'm not going to tell you why all this happened. Well, that's unsatisfying. I mean, it's kind of like, have you ever got to the end of a book that didn't end the way you wanted it to, and you just wanted to throw it across the room? It's kind of like, did you ever watch the movie Citizen Kane? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That is very unsatisfying. You never understand the end of it. You still don't know about the rosebud thing. You started with it, you ended with it, and you still don't know why. Very unsatisfying. Well, in some ways, it's very unsatisfying that God does not answer the why me question. But God does answer. God's probably not going to tell you why you about a lot of things. Unless you've done something wrong and you're bearing a consequence of the wrongdoing, God's probably not going to tell you why. God never told me why my brother Michael died at 27. He never told me why he had to go through all those months of skin grafts and everything from being burned, go home for 3 days, and then die. Why did he have to go through all that suffering and then die? Why? Why was my 16-year-old cousin kidnapped, tortured, and murdered? Why? Bad things happen, don't they? People die. People are abused. Terrible things happen. And we want to know why. And it's very unsatisfying to us that God won't tell us why. He won't tell us why when we pray and this one is healed and we pray and that one is not. But I think this is the thing. We're asking the wrong question. Because even if we understood, it wouldn't change anything. If I understood why my brother Michael died and the way he died, it wouldn't have changed the fact that he still went through it and was dead. Wouldn't change that. The other thing is, sometimes God just wants us to know he's God, and he's not answerable to us. And let's face it, when we do that why me thing, it's usually not a humble question, is it? It is, who do you think you are, God? I'm just being honest. I'm not the only one in this room that's ever asked these questions, am I? Because, folks, we can get so arrogant. Like God has to answer to us. And he won't. But he will answer if we ask the right question. So, these are my suggestions to you, and all the answers come from the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter is a book written to suffering people. 1 Peter is a book written to people who have become Christians and are now outcasts in their own community. They can't get a job now. They are mocked now. They are feared now because they're different. They're talked about. You know, these people are eating bodies and drinking blood. They don't get it, the communion. They think they're actually cannibals. They don't understand Christianity. Therefore, they fear it. Therefore, they persecute Christians. And these are some Christians going through some hard times. And 1 Peter is written to them to help them cope. So, when others let you down or even betray you, don't ask why. Ask, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What's our first reaction when we've been betrayed? Get even. Get revenge. I promise you that nothing has happened to you that was worse than what happened to Jesus. And if he can hang on a cross and forgive and ask God to forgive, then when you are betrayed, when people let you down, as they will, ask God to forgive them. Because in 1 Peter 3:9 it says, do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. those that let you down, those that betray you, those that have hurt you. Ask God to forgive them and to bless them. God answers those prayers. When a tragedy strikes and it's close to your heart, and we've all had those too, then ask the Lord to calm your heart and take away your anxiety. When tragedy strikes, that's when we really, really, really want to ask why me or why them. But usually when somebody close to you is taken, it's why did you take this from me? Right? And it is normal to go there. Just don't stay there. Because in 1 Peter it tells us, beloved, do not be surprised that the fiery ordeal is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. There is nothing that happens to you that is not common to all human beings. We live in a fallen world. Why did the world fall? Sin. Who sinned? Humans. We brought it into the world. When Jesus was explaining this to the disciples, he used it in a parable and said, a farmer went out and planted good seeds, but then the enemy came and planted thorns in among it. And the workers came to the owner of the farm and said, should we go out and pull up the thorns? And he said, no, you pull up the thorns, it will also tear up the good plants. Let them raise up together. The only way to rid this world of evil is to get rid of the carriers, the hosts. Who is the hosts of evil? Humans. And even if God did pick through and send all the evil people one place and all the good people another, the good people would be a very few, because almost all of us do evil from time to time. But if he was going to tear all that up, even then, those that were left wouldn't be as strong, because it would rip up the field. That's why it's not going to happen till the day of the harvest. So don't be shocked because a bad thing happened. I personally am usually shocked when bad things don't happen. You know, and I don't consider myself a pessimist, although I will say this. Optimists, all their surprises are bad ones. Pessimist, all your surprises are good. I'm just saying. But I'm actually not a pessimistic person. I just look at it from the standpoint of, it's not why me, but why not me? And when I say why me, I also say why me when something good happens. Why do we always do that? Why do we say why me when it's bad, but something really good happens? We don't go, me. We don't do that. Bring it on. We don't go, why me, though? When tragedy strikes others, ask, can I help? When tragedy strikes around the world, how many things have we recently when we have seen people go in and shoot a bunch of innocent strangers? Somebody went in just the other day and shot a bunch of people having a barbecue in their own backyard. And then there was the guy that just drove through town killing people for no apparent reason. Didn't know them, didn't. People that go into schools and shoot little kids. And then we have the other things that, you know, you might consider more laying at God's door. Tsunamis, earthquakes, tornadoes. When I was a little child and reasoned as a little child, I thought God hated trailer parks. Because every tornado that ever hit wiped out a trailer park somewhere. It just, you know, I thought, why? Why? But instead of asking why, ask the question, how can I help? How can I help? Because in 1 Peter 4:10 it says, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Instead of bemoaning terrible things, let's be active and help fix it. It's a chance to show the manifold grace of God. God answers that prayer. How about those times when everything just seems too hard? You know, it says the little foxes spoil the vines. It's usually not the big tragedy that gets you, but those little things that happen all day long. I don't know what the man equivalent of this is, but, you know, getting a run in your hose. I don't know what the man equivalent of that is. Breaking a fingernail, I don't know what the man equivalent of that is either. But all of those little things that happen, just boom, boom, those are the ones that get me. The day that you drop something that was very important to you and it shatters to smithereens. Those days when it just seems too hard to carry on. First Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. Job lost everything, and then he got back more than he had in the first place. Because God restores and establishes. You just say, Lord, give me strength to carry on. God answers that prayer. He answers that question. Give me strength. As my friend Regina Shelton says, it's a great life if you don't weaken. It's a great life if you don't weaken. So let's not weaken. Let's bear up. Let's be strong, because it can get hard. How about those times when everything seems to fail? How many have said, I can't get nothing right? I just can't get nothing right. And some days are worse than others, and sometimes it's a whole week. And it feels longer. I just can't get nothing right. I like this little note. It said, Dear God, I've tried my best, but if today I lose my hope, please tell me that your plans are better than my dreams. bigger than my dreams. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Give me hope. He answers that question. He answers that prayer. What we have to remember in the midst of tragedies when they happen, folks, is pain is inevitable in this life, but suffering is optional. Suffering is optional. Because what is suffering except an attitude of the mind? I want to tell you something. I know what it is to feel like a victim. I know what it is to feel like you don't have control and that you are at others' mercies. I know what that is. A lot of people in here do. And several years ago now, I decided that I will never be victim again. I can't keep bad things from happening, but I ain't nobody's victim. Because pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. And I will not allow pain to have dominance over me, because the living God of the universe is inside of me. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Folks, that's good news. That is very good news. Because even though we may never know why, I used to say when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why about some of these things. And then I realized when I get to heaven, I won't care. Not even a little. So let it go now. Call upon the name of Jesus. Because there's just something about that name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.